Romans 12, it says, Paul says, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, beseech just means to urge. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. And you could circle the word bodies. First, he says, present your bodies. You know, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. There's a couple of examples of the Bible of a living sacrifice. Remember when Isaac was on the altar, remember, and his father took him, and he took him, and he was going to sacrifice him. And, you know, he was alive, but he was basically dead. He was a living sacrifice. When he got up, he was totally surrendered. His life was a ransom. And the second person was who? Jesus, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And so what he's saying is present your bodies to God. And he says, after all that God's done for us, it's just a reasonable response that we surrender our bodies to him, glorifying him, our temple. And then verse 2, it says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You could circle the word mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You could circle the word will. And here in these first two verses, Paul says, present your bodies, your mind, and your will to God. That's a full surrender. That's a living sacrifice. And so our bodies, in Romans 6, it talks about yield your members not to unrighteousness, but instruments of righteousness. And then this verse 2, it's a very popular verse, and don't be conformed to this world. You're either going to be conformed or transformed. You're either going to be a conformer of the culture and the world system, or you're going to be transformed, a conformer or a transformer. And so how is our mind transformed? By the renewing of your mind. And so that's why continually staying in the Word, continually renewing our mind. You know, the Bible talks about when we see him, we'll be like him. We'll have a glorified body. But until that day, that process of sanctification or becoming more like Christ is not complete. And so we have to continually renew our mind with God's word. It's like seed to the sower. And it's you know, I like to think of it as like an investment. You say, well, why do we try to read the Bibles? Because we're trying to invest and renew our minds to think like God thinks. And what's going to be the result of that? He says, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's how our will is going to be conformed. That's how we're even going to know the will of God, is by the transforming of our mind. And that word transformed, it's from the word metamorphosis. That's where we get the English word metamorphosis from. It's the same type of an idea, and it means a change from within. A change from within. And so these first couple of verses are so important. Present your bodies, present your mind, present your will, continually renewing our mind. I always say this, you'll hear me say this, you've been coming here. We never graduate from God's school, do we? We never graduate. I was teaching yesterday at Orange Park. I was thinking about one of the ways I know, I guess Pastor Josh taught here. One of the ways to stay close to God in prayer is through repentance, right? And Jesus preached repentance. John the Baptist preached repentance. Repent means the changing of the mind. Repent means to change one's mind. Biblical repentance. Okay, and so here's the idea. How do you change your mind? You read God's word, your mind is changing. So it's like this. You used to think, okay, I can break stuff down in the men's breakfast. It's a lot easier. So you used to think one way about sex. You used to think one way about finances. Or about being selfish, okay? It was the path of least resistance. It's what's going to give you the most instant gratification. That's how you used to think. Thinking patterns, okay? And so you repent, you change your mind about this way of thinking, and you turn to the scriptures, and you say, okay, well, God says this. God's truth is this. I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to repent, change my mind from this way of thinking into this way of thinking. And when you change your mind, you know what happens? God changes your heart. And so now these things that you used to enjoy, like getting pleasure from, your heart has changed. Your desire for these things have changed. That's repentance. And if you really want to understand repentance, it's not a one-time experience. Certainly we repent and we change from, and we believe the gospel, the good news that Jesus died on the cross. That's a one-time thing, and you're born again. But if you really want to understand repentance, it's daily. Repentance is a daily decision. That's why Jesus said, take up your cross daily and follow me. And so that's the changing of the mind. And so do you know, you could repent and believe the gospel at 25, but if you're not transformed by the renewing of your mind, that process of sanctification where you're investing and sowing into your own spirit, your own mind, changing of the mind, you know, there won't be much change in your life. And that's why, you know, we talked about this in Romans chapter 6, but if you give place to that old man, he'll get right back up off the altar, and he'll have more strength than that spiritual man. And so that's why, if you really understand repentance, you have to die to self daily. I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And so that's what he's talking about here, our bodies, our mind, our will. And then in verse 3 he says, for I say through the grace given to me. Paul was an apostle, and he starts to walk in this office of an apostle. He says, I have the grace of an apostle. He says, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. And so God's given each believer a measure of faith. And so we're not puffed up, we don't brag about these different, and so now he's going to deal with these gifts, spiritual gifts that God's given us. If someone gives you a gift, you didn't earn it. You can't brag about it, and you don't think of yourself more highly because someone gave you a gift. It was given by God. It's free. And that's how God measures out these spiritual gifts in Romans 12. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace. You could circle the word grace in verse 6, because many teachers teach these gifts in Romans 12 as the grace gifts. And that means God supernaturally graced you when you were born with these motivational gifts. What that means is you're motivated to do one of these gifts. In your heart, you're wiring, you're motivated to operate in some of these gifts. It's why are you? Because God graced you with that. He gave you that. Okay? And some people call these the motivational gifts, because you're motivated for these gifts in the local church. And he says, if you have these, you've been given a measure of faith, you've been given this gift, so don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. Don't overvalue your gift, and don't undervalue your gift. And there's offices in a church. Ephesians talks about God has given apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Those are offices set in churches. But in this, with these gifts, no gift is more important than the other. They're all free, they all serve, they all have a purpose. So we don't overvalue our gift, and we don't undervalue it. I remember when I got saved into a church when I was in college, all the men in the church were preachers. It was in South Louisiana, and the only gift that was really valued were missionaries and preachers. So all the men, all the college men, They all tried to be preachers. And that was what was the most valued thing in the church. But you know, God That's out of balance, because this is what it teaches right here. If everyone's a preacher, no one's working to support the work of the ministry, and it's out of balance. It's dysfunctional, because it says this in verse 6, having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. That I was reading that this morning. It just made me think, like, if God's given you a gift of prophecy, it says use that in proportion to your faith. Don't prophesy outside the bounds of faith that God has given you. Don't add to what God's giving you to say. Verse 7, or ministry. Ministry, it just means service, serving one another. That word ministry just means serving. Or ministry, let us use it in ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts, and that word exhorts, it just means encouragement. I believe the gift of encouragement is one of the most needed gifts in the church. How many of you know men need encouragement, man? People need encouragement. It's difficult. They need someone to just come alongside and say, man, it's going to be good. It's going to be all right. He who gives with liberality. You know, there's people who have an office. They walk in an office of giving. Some people are just blessed. They have an ability to make money. And he says, if that's your gift, give with liberality. He who leads with diligence. Be faithful in your leadership. Be diligent. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. You know, if you have a gift of mercy, you love when someone's hurting, your heart goes out to them, and you want to help those who are hurting. The Bible says, don't be sad, but be cheerful when you're showing mercy. And so in chapter 12 here, just think about here this morning, what are you naturally motivated to do? Show mercy, be a giver, teach the word. Do you have a gift of leadership? Are you a gift of encourager? Don't undervalue your gift, he says. Don't overvalue your gift. You know what's interesting here is he says each one's been given a measure of faith. And I just think we use our gifts with faith. It's going to take faith for your gift to operate. You're going to have to use faith. And you're not always, maybe you don't always feel and see all the results that you want to see. But you do it in faith. You're encouraging someone. How many of you know when you get to heaven, if you're an encourager here or you're a giver, gift of giving, or you're a leader, you may not see everything all at once, but one day you'll see all these results when we get to heaven. All of the gifts that you're giving, you have to operate it in faith, use it in faith. And then in verse 9, he turns and he says, using all of these spiritual gifts, this is going to be the attitude. Because in Corinthians, we talked about this a few weeks ago, these guys were using all these spiritual gifts, but they were drawing people to themselves. They thought they were better than others. And they had the gifts of the Spirit, but they didn't have the fruit of the Spirit. And Paul is very strong in that love's the most important thing, isn't he? Love and character is more important than spiritual gifts. Amen? And so that's what he turns to. He says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. That means treating others more important than our own selves. Honor comes from the heart. Respecting and honoring people more than our own selves. Preferring one another in love, the Bible says. Treating others more important than our own selves. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. To me, like he's talking about how we treat others We're praying for others. We're serving others. We're patient. And then he talks about we're praying for others. And then he talks about he talks about how we're going to deal with our enemies. But before that, in verse 15, he says, rejoice with those who rejoice. And to me, that means you're sharing each other's burdens. There's a scripture that says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That means, like, if someone's going through a difficult time, you don't just flip them and say, oh, it'll be all right. You'll be fine. Just pat them on the back. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. It's talking about taking on each other's burdens. That's the body of Christ. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. This passage here in verse 16, it just reminds me of James, where it talks about don't show favoritism to, like, people who are wealthy or people who are popular, but associate with it. And Jesus, he associated with the outcasts and with the lowly, with the humble. Don't show favoritism to people just because they have a certain status on the earth. And it says, don't just keep your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Don't be wise in your own opinion. It's one thing I really love about our church is we've always been a church, I feel like, where people, no matter what their skin color or status, feel accepted. Our church is raw, man. It's raw. It's real. We had a fight out in the parking lot on Father's Day. I mean, that's as raw as it gets. Like somebody face down on the concrete on Father's Day. I mean, it's real. Don't be wise in your own opinion, but associate with the humble. No matter what somebody's background, their skin color, man, I really feel like people feel, don't you feel like that's the spirit of Christ? Don't you feel like that's how it should be? People can come in and feel accepted how they, right where they are. Don't you feel like that's how Jesus would be? It's not a social status thing. It's not a social club. It represents it feels like it connects into our community. And then he says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Then I like in verse 18 how he says, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. And I wrote, you can't control others. He says, if it's possible, as much as you can do, live peaceably. You can't control what other people do and say, but as what you can only control your words and your attitude and your and what you can do. And he says, don't avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And you remember when they brought Jesus before Pilate, he just kept silent. He let the Lord fight his battles. He says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. It'll be like heaping coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's a Christian. He's not going to pay vengeance. He's not going to be evil. He's going to show the love of Christ. I was thinking about this as we close. I was thinking about, I took Ashley out for her birthday a couple of months ago, I guess. Went out to World Golf Village and I made reservations in this hotel out there. So I'd go to check in. I said, you know, my name's Chris. I got a room. And the guy's like, okay, I have you here. I said, so he goes, yeah, you wanted two double beds. I said, no, it's my wife's, it's our anniversary. I said, I don't want two double beds. And so he said, well, you know, all I have is two beds. I said, well, I called and reserved a bed, you know, a bed. I called and asked for a king bed, and the guy says, well, let me just teach you something about reservations. When you make a reservation, you have to make sure the bed is guaranteed. I said, so it's like a fake, I mean, I didn't say this, but I'm thinking, so it's like it's like a fake reservation unless I say it's guaranteed. That's how you get the true reservation, is you use the word guarantee. And I was starting to get a little mad, And Ashley's like, well, is there another hotel you can give us a voucher for? And she was nice, though. She was nice about it. And so I was like, okay, this is fine. I said, can you just make sure? And so he, you know how he's like typing on the thing? And he's like, just a second. I'm like, this is getting sketchy, man, this guy. And he's typing on the thing. He's like, oh, wait, a room just became available. They were cleaning it. I was like, that's interesting how quickly that thing became available. And so, but I didn't say a thing, but I was getting mad, right? Because we were late for going to eat dinner and all this. And so he's like, okay, here's your key. And I was like, man, thanks. I really appreciate you helping me out. Go up to my room. But I was, the whole time, I'm getting mad. I was in a rush, and I wanted to be hard on him, right? But I didn't. So, kid you not, true story. Sunday morning, Orange Park's campus. The following Sunday, I'm walking in the sanctuary, and there's that brother right there standing in the doorway. I said, what's up, man? I said, I didn't know you come here. He said, hey, pastor. And I just thought, what if I would have let him have it like I was fixing to? That would have been so embarrassing. Don't overcome, be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen? Let's say a prayer together. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And God, we just pray some of these scriptures into our hearts this morning. God, we choose humility. God, we don't just associate with high things, but God, with the humble, God. And we just pray these scriptures over our lives today. We want to use our gifts you've given us. We want to lead with diligence. We want to show mercy with cheerfulness, God. We want to teach in teaching, God. We want to serve others, whatever gifts you put down in our hearts, God. Some of these men have the gift of encouragement. God, we just pray that you just ignite and use our gifts by the grace of God for your glory, for your kingdom. We're just vessels for you today. In your name we pray, amen.